All right, church, in our continuing study through the Gospel of Luke, we come today to chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. So would you open your Bible, please, or your instrument? If you can choose which version to look at, I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, ESV. I'd like to do three things. I would like to read this section, 15 verses, so that we know what is in it, what it contains. Then I'd like to talk a little bit about Jesus as the great physician. And then thirdly, a little later, I'll actually put the text on the screen and do a running commentary and pick out the parts I think are important for us for interpretation and application. But right now, I'm going to read right out of my Bible. If you didn't bring scripture with you, use the Bible in the pew. You can see on the screen the scripture. It contains two mighty miracles performed by Jesus, the great physician. And it says this: while he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. He charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest, make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. On one of those days, he was teaching. Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village in Galilee, Judea, and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. They were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." The scribes and Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this that speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered, "Why do you question in your heart? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home, glorifying God. And amazement seized them all. They glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." Indeed, they have. The great physician. I am old enough to remember the 1950s. In fact, I lived all of my teenage years through the 1950s. They were called the Fabulous 50s. World War II was well over. The economies of the world were revving up. There was a real sense of optimism and hope in the world, but not all was rosy. In 1952, a virus broke out across the world that affected thousands and thousands of people. What was that virus? Poliomyelitis struck. And particularly, it struck little children. And you would see them hobbling around in their leg irons and their crutches. Sanitariums were set up, and you would see pictures of people encased in their iron lungs. And then along came a doctor. What's his name? Dr. Jonas Salk. And Dr. Salk discovered the polio vaccine, the miracle cure. And in a relatively short time, the scourge of polio was lifted. And magazines and news stories love to talk about Dr. Salk and the Salk vaccine. And they called him the great physician. Well, he was a great physician. But the term the great physician is reserved for one person. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He is the great physician. And in our chapter today, we have two examples of the Lord Jesus in his miracle working healing of those who are sick. Let me say two or three things about the miracle healings of the Lord Jesus. Number one, Jesus did these healings because he cared and loved people. It hurt him emotionally to see sick people, and he had the power to heal them. And how many times does it say Jesus had compassion on him? And he wept over Jerusalem when he saw the state that people were in. But secondly, his miracles were a proof that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Isaiah said 700 years earlier, "You will know when the Messiah has come. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dumb will speak, the lame will walk." And that happened when Jesus was here. Mike, 2 weeks ago, had a passage that said that when the evening was come, anybody and everybody who had a sickness could come to the Lord Jesus and he would heal them. The third thing I want to say is this. In the Bible, disease and sickness are a picture of our spiritual condition. We have a disease, church. What is that disease called? Sin. And these two people that we just read about, only Jesus could help them. The leper had a death sentence imposed upon him by that disease. And we have a death sentence. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And only the Lord Jesus can take care of that problem. The paralytic was helpless. There was nothing he could do to remedy his situation. Only Jesus could remedy that situation. And we are the same way. There is nothing we can do that commends us to God. No works that we can do. We have to cast ourselves on Jesus, just like these two men did in the stories we have today. So let's look at the text and see some lessons as we go along here. It's on the screen, so you can follow along on the screen. It says, while he was in one of the cities, we don't know which city this is. Often we're told exactly where Jesus was, but this is his Galilean ministry. So Jesus is in a city of Galilee, and there came a man full of leprosy. Dr. Luke gives us the word that means this man was in the advanced stages of leprosy. A terrible, terrible disease. It started out with lesions in the skin, and then the nerve endings in the extremities of their bodies would become numb, and gradually their extremities would die and drop off. And it was horrible, so much so that the leper had to be separated from society. He either lived alone or with other lepers. And if anyone came near him, he would have to call out, unclean, unclean. Imagining how humiliating that would be. Not only physical suffering, but the mental condition where you had to tell people, don't get near me. And so this is the situation. And this man was so desperate that he broke the law. He left the leper colony. And it says, he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. You notice he didn't say, you can cure me. He said, you can make me clean. Why? Because he was unclean. And that's what I do. When I come to the Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I am unclean before a holy, righteous God. And I ask him for cleansing. And you notice that he fell on his face. He came as a humble man. He came not claiming any right. He says, if you will, I don't have a claim on you, Lord. I have no rights. I'm just coming in humility. But I know that you can make me clean. He believed that Jesus was able to make him clean. And I come the same way to the Lord Jesus. I acknowledge my uncleanness. I have no rights before him. But in your mercy, Lord, and God will cleanse us. He will make us clean. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And then Jesus did the unimaginable. Jesus reached out and touched him. I imagine when this man came to the Lord Jesus, the rest of the crowd, they moved back. They didn't want to be close enough to catch the disease. In touching him, never. But Jesus reaches out and he touches him. And I believe that sentence, he stretched out his hand and touched him, goes deeper than just the physical act of touching. Jesus came to touch sin in the world. It says in, I think it's 2 Corinthians 5, that he who knew no sin became sin for us. He didn't become a sinner. He was always the sinless Son of God. But our load of sin was placed upon him and judged. So he came to make contact with sin. Because like he loved and cared about this man, he cares about me. He cares about you. And he wants you to come, if you haven't already come, and acknowledge that need. I love that. And he says to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. What a miracle. Suddenly, any lesions that he had were healed. Anything that had dropped off was made perfect again. And here he was, a whole man. And Jesus charged him, don't tell anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest. Jesus himself kept the law. It says he was born under the law, and he lived perfectly under the law. And he knew from Leviticus 13 and 14, which are long chapters that tell exactly what a leper had to do, how you found out whether or not he had leprosy, if he did, if he claimed to be healed, what he had to do. And this man could not go back into society until the priest, who was a sort of health inspector, if you will, would examine him and pronounce him to be clean. So he says, don't tell anyone, because it's not considered genuine until the priest says it's genuine. Go and show yourself and make the offering to God. It's God who did the healing. For your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for proof to them. Who do you think the them is? To make proof to them. Well, it could have been the people who knew this man, perhaps, and were around him. But I think it includes the priests. I don't think they had ever seen a healing such as this. They would have been amazed at this man coming to see the health that he now had by the cleansing power of the great physician. And that would speak to them. But we know from Mark's gospel, where this miracle is also recorded, that the man did talk about it. Even more, the report went abroad and great crowds gathered to hear. Jesus said, don't tell anybody. You're not officially clean until the priest says you're clean, even though I have cleansed you. He kept the law, did Jesus. But this man couldn't keep it to himself. And so more and more crowds came around Jesus. And remember, this is the beginning of his ministry. Jesus incrementally revealed more and more about himself. This wasn't the time for them to try and come and crown him as the king of Israel. Jesus didn't want people just coming just to see miracles taking place. So great crowds gathered, and he would withdraw to a desolate place to pray. How often Jesus withdrew. Jesus said later, I only do the works that my Father tells me to do. So he needed to report to his Father to find out what those works were. He said, I only say the words that the Father tells me to say. I'm sorry, I didn't advance that, did I? And so he needed to know what those words were. So he withdrew, communed with his Father, received instructions from his Father. What a mighty miracle that was. Verse 17, on one of those days he was teaching. Now we do know where the second miracle took place. It took place in Capernaum. Capernaum is a town on the edge of the Sea of Galilee, the North Sea of Galilee. And it says he was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. This is the first time in the gospel that we read about the Pharisees, and we're going to learn a lot more about them as time goes by. But they have heard of this man, Jesus of Nazareth. He's a teacher, people say. In fact, they even call him rabbi. And these Pharisees are saying to themselves, we don't know anything about him. He didn't come up through our rabbinical schools. Who is this man? What is he teaching? Is it truth or error? We're going to go. And so notice they came from Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And it says the power of the Lord was with him. You ever noticed that sentence before? The power of the Lord was with him. Wasn't that always with him? On this occasion, the power of the Lord was with him. Well, there were occasions when Jesus could not do miracles. Did you know that? It says he could do no mighty deeds in that place because of their unbelief. But here, the power of the Lord was with him. Verse 18. Behold, some men were bringing on a bed. Let's see, have we got that on the screen there? Behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. There were those who came to criticize, to find fault, the Pharisees. And there were those who came with belief that Jesus could help them. And here it is. Some men bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were seeking to bring him and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let down the bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. Have you ever tried to think in your mind what that must have been like if you were there? It's almost humorous in a way. They're breaking into this man's house. Sometimes there were tiles on the roof. Other times there was just clay and grass and stuff. The houses had flat roofs. There were stairs on the outside that would lead up. And they used the rooftop like a patio. In the cool of the evening, they would go up there and visit together. And they went up there. But imagine taking the man's roof apart. I wonder how much debris fell down. How much dust was filling the air. And suddenly they look up and this thing comes down, 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 down. And it stops right in front of Jesus. And when he saw their faith, whose faith? Well, all five of them, I think. The four men who brought him. And the man himself. He said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." Your sins are forgiven you. Can you think of any better words that could ever be said to anyone? I can't. Not "you're a millionaire." Not "I'll give you success in life." Your sins are forgiven you. I wonder how they initially responded to that. They came for a physical healing, and they got a spiritual healing. Were they disappointed? Did they say, "Well, we haven't really come for that. This guy's paralyzed." Jesus says, "Your sins are." He dealt with the man's greatest need first. He needed his sins forgiven. He came in faith. And when we come in faith, Jesus says to us, "Your sins are forgiven." Has Jesus said that to you? Have you come as a paralyzed, helpless person spiritually to the Lord Jesus? Come humbly before him and heard through the scriptures, Jesus said to you, "Your sins are forgiven." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" They got that right. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And so they're saying, if you're not God, and you made that statement, you have blasphemed God and are worthy of death. But if you are God, and they didn't want to believe that, you can say that, because only God can forgive sin. And then verse 22, Jesus perceived their thoughts. He proved he was God right there. Jesus read their mind. They didn't say out loud what they were thinking. "Why do you question in your heart. Only God can read the heart and the thoughts of a person. And he does. And he knows my thoughts every day. He knows your thoughts every day, if they are or not directed towards him. So he says, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to rise and walk? He asks him a question. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise and walk? I wonder how you would answer that. Which is the easier of those two? Well, they're both easy to say. And they're both impossible for us to do. We can do neither. We can say the expressions. But I think there's something else that is meant here. It's easier to say your sins are forgiven, because how can you prove whether it happened or not? That is something that goes on the inside. If I'm Jesus and I say to Dave, your sins are forgiven you, how do we know whether it took place or not? But if Dave is paralyzed and I say, get up and walk, he either gets up and walk or he doesn't. It can be proved. But, says Jesus, that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, pick up your bed and go home. To show that I have done what you would consider the easiest, I'm going to do the harder. And he looks at the man and he says, pick up your bed and go home. And immediately, the second time, in verse 13, it said immediately. In verse 25, it says immediately, he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. At the beginning of the story, the bed carried the man. At the end of the story, the man carried the bed. Pretty good miracle, right? He had strength. A paralyzed man gets up and he has strength to pick up however heavy that cot was, that bed was. And he goes away, and he goes away glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they all glorified God and were saying, filled with awe, we have seen extraordinary things today. The great physician. And I think the main lesson, in summary, I need to, number one, recognize I'm spiritually diseased. Only Jesus can cleanse me of my sin. Have I come to him in that humble attitude and received that cleansing? And secondly, there's another lesson here. The men brought their friend to Jesus. And I wrote this for myself, maybe for you. I need to look for an opportunity this week to bring someone to Jesus. If I look for opportunities, there will be someone in your life and my life, if you're already a believer, who needs desperately cleansing from Jesus. And God uses us. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. We are like Jesus to the people of this world, and we need to bring them to him. So this is what I'm going to pray this week, and maybe you would pray this as well. Lead me to some soul today. Teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Amen, church. Father, we thank you for these two great miracles of the great physician. And I pray, Lord, we wouldn't leave this story back in Israel. We would bring it forward to today and see ourselves as those who need the Savior for cleansing. I thank you for everyone here this morning who has already realized that. They have come in humility and faith before the Lord Jesus and heard him say, "Your sins are forgiven." And Lord, in a congregation this size, there are always those who haven't reached that stage yet or don't have the confidence, the surety that this is true of them. I pray that this story might help each one of us to come to you in humble faith and receive the forgiveness that you long to give us, spiritual health. And Lord, help us this week as we go out into a dying world, a world that hates you and hates your Son, the Lord Jesus, a needy world, people spiritually diseased. Lord, lead us to some soul today. Give us the words to say that they may come into that great family of God, the family of faith. Thank you again for your word. Use it in our lives in a practical way, I ask in the name of our Savior. Amen. Amen. Amen.